So after 34 years, Gerry Adams is to step down as president of Sinn Féin.
This is also my last Ardes as Uachtaráin Sinn Féin. I will be asking the incoming Ard Comhairle to agree a date in 2018 for a special Ardes to elect our next Uachtaráin. Republicanism has never been stronger. This is our time. We will grow even stronger in the future, but leadership means knowing when it's time for change. And that time is now.
Our BBC political editor, Mark Devenport, with us this morning. Mark, obviously there will be debate now as to what happens in the future after Gerry Adams has gone. But what about his past? What contribution did he make to Northern Ireland?
Well, it's an enormous legacy that Gerry Adams leaves behind, and there will be few figures that have so many people who absolutely revile him and as well have some people who absolutely adore him. There's absolutely no doubt that going back even further than the 34 years, Gerry Adams' career has to some extent mirrored and been involved with the whole timeline of the Troubles and the peace process from the late 1960s. He got involved as an active Republican. He denies being in the IRA. Very few people believe that denial, but he clearly was one of the most senior leaders within the Republican movement, both sides of the Republican movement during that period. As a very young man, he was released from internment to be on a delegation which had talks that were pretty short-lived and unsuccessful with the British government. He then became president of Sinn Féin in 1983, and during that period in the 80s, he was known as a staunch defender of the IRA's right to resort to violence in pursuit of a united Ireland. But then from the mid-1990s onwards, he became a champion of the peace process, and then more recent times has overseen this inexorable rise, it seems, of Sinn Féin electorally on both sides of the border. So it's a mixed legacy. People will credit him for some of the risks that he took to deliver the peace process, but at the same time, there are still those questions there about exactly what he was involved in the earlier part of his career.
Let's just have a listen to this, Mark.
It must be a basic tactic, a basic principle of republicanism that we fight on behalf of the people. We fight because the people want us to fight.
We fight because people want us to fight.
Yes, and I mean, there was a huge debate about that at the time, because there would have been others such as John Hume and the SDLP who would say, by all means, pursue the goal of a united Ireland, we share that, but do not resort to violence. And they would claim that the use of violence by the IRA effectively delayed progress towards what they wanted to see happen in the future. There were others who would say, within the circumstances that happened in the early years of the Troubles, that there was some legitimacy to that campaign. And that was the basic argument that we had, which was a standoff for the larger part of the Troubles, until Gerry Adams, who, even though, as I say, everybody believes in terms of security and intelligence chiefs that he was involved in the IRA, he always had that kind of political sense, even from his young days, when I think he was involved in things like housing rights activity. And I think during the course of the 90s, when his hold on the Republican movement together with Martin McGuinness was completely unassailable, he, at that point, saw that they were probably in a cul-de-sac, that the fight, the long war as they termed it, was not going to be won, and that they had to find a political way out of this.
Mark Devenport, thank you very much indeed. 0330 80 55 55. The TUV leader Jim Allister joining us this morning. I'm sure you'll be shedding no tears. You'll hardly miss Gerry Adams, Jim.
My thoughts are with the tears which were shed by the victims of the IRA across this province. Now he hopes to enjoy what the IRA brutally denied to so many, namely retirement. Dean McConville, hundreds of others, they never got that opportunity. Why? Because the IRA decided they would die. And who is the primary justifier who continues to this day to justify those murders? Gerry Adams. So, yes, I don't think anyone who suffered at the hands of the IRA will think kindly of Gerry Adams or his ilk, and will think instead of the brutality brought to this province.
Don't you acknowledge that he also delivered peace in Northern Ireland, played a part in delivering peace?
I acknowledge that the security forces delivered peace in Northern Ireland. They brought the IRA to the realisation they could not succeed. I don't believe that Gerry Adams has come to the point of accepting that his armed struggle, as he called it, was wrong. he continues to justify it. Therefore, he continues to justify each and every murder that took place. And so long as he does that, then he's not a paragon of peace. He is someone who perfected and justified terror and murder and the taking of life and the denial of that most basic of human rights.
You know the well-rehearsed argument, Jim, that it was Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness who helped deliver decommissioning, who helped bring the IRA campaign to an end.
I know.
And that this was a war.
No, I also know that Gerry Adams has been very plain about the fact that they have moved from one phase of struggle to another. That the one phase was justified to the point where it could extract no more, and then the next phase was justified. And the peace process was but yet another phase. Stormont was just another phase. And now they seem to be in a mindset to move to yet another phase, all designed to subjugate the will of the people of Northern Ireland to remain part of the United Kingdom. That's what the bombs and the bullets, that's what the Brits out was all about. And this man was the champion of that, whose IRA deprived so many of the very thing he now seeks to enjoy, retirement.
Well, Sinn Féin tell us that they're trying to find someone to represent the views who would support Gerry Adams this morning. Let's see if they can find someone from within the party to do so. Jim in West Belfast, morning to you, Jim. Thank you, Jim Alistair. Morning to you. Morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. I just want to say I'm very conscious that you're going to have people phoning in today, and people are going to have... It's going to be a very mixed show today. People are going to... Gerry Adams is like Marmite. You either love him or hate him. And a lot of people are going to phone today who have lost loved ones, be it in the security forces and other areas. And these people are Christians, and it's their pain cannot be denied. It's an intolerable pain they must be feeling. But you have to understand, too, these same people who will phone in today, these Christians who will phone in and be God-fearing people, have to understand, too, the Bible says, blessed be the peacemaker.
Well, it's not about Christians phoning in, Jim. I'm sure there will be some Christians phoning in.
Let me finish, please.
This is not about Christianity.
It's not about Christianity. No, but my point being is, you have to understand, we're in a better place today than we were 20 years ago. And it's for people like Gerry Adams, people like David Irvine, people on both sides who took that brave step, push forward and trying to find a better way. There has been countless lives saved for people like Adams and other people, Ian Paisley, another divisive figure. Lives have been saved. My children can go to school and there's not men walking about in green uniforms with guns. There's not people getting murdered.
And for those people who it made them feel sick to their stomach when they heard Gerry Adams support violence. Gerry Adams refused to condemn IRA violence.
I am not a promoter of Gerry Adams. I am not a spokesperson for Gerry Adams. I am a spokesperson for a citizen of Northern Ireland who can see his children living in a better community than I grew up in. And that is because of people like Adams, people like Dr. Paisley, people like David Irvine, Martin McGuinness, more divisive figure. Both sides, we are living in a better society than we were 20
well,
years ago.
You mention Martin McGuinness there. Yesterday, Gerry Adams didn't mention the IRA in his speech, but the Sinn Féin MP, Alicia McCallion, did and had this to say in a tribute to Martin McGuinness.
Martin knew that change was needed in his own native town of Derry in the 1970s, and Martin stood up and made himself counted by joining the IRA at the time when he did. Martin was a proud member of the IRA.
Doug Beattie from the Ulster Unionist Party, it's no surprise that there was applause when the IRA was mentioned there. But I know there has been quite a lot of reaction from people within the unionist community when they hear that out loud. Martin was a proud member of the IRA, Doug, and some unionists thinking of the many victims of the IRA and how that applause would go down with them.
Well absolutely, Stephen. I mean, that is spitting in the face of victims, those who have lost loved ones. And having lost loved ones, they had to then watch as as terrorists were let out early for a peace process, and we all understand the reason why. And now they have to stand and watch as these same people take the stage and applaud themselves as being peacemakers, when the reality is they are the ones who caused the grief in the first place. Now, I don't speak for everybody, Stephen, and Gerry Adams does have an enormous legacy, but Gerry Adams is a divisive character. Although he will deny it, he did preside over this conflict as a young IRA volunteer, as an IRA chief of staff, as a member of the IRA Army.
He denies being a member of the IRA, doesn't he?
And as a leader of Sinn Féin. And I know that many unionists will say good riddance to him. But I'll also say this, Stephen, many nationalists will say good riddance to him. I will attribute those people who directly or indirectly directed terrorism. Now, there's an indirect direction of terrorism here, where somebody gets up and glorifies it, as we've seen at the conference there, when somebody stays up and says, I'm proud of the IRA and I'm proud of what they've done. That is directing it in exactly the same way as a member of the IRA directed it. And we also know this, Stephen, and this is important, that Gerry Adams is the arbiter and the continuity of the information. He knows who did what. He knows who did what and where and when. He knows about the sexual violence committed by the IRA. He knows all this, and he will not come forward. And he needs to come forward.
Gerry Adams again would deny that.
Well, he has openly said it. This is a man, Stephen.
He has not openly said it.
This is a man, Stephen, who knew about the sexual abuse of a three-year-old and said nothing for 10 years.
This is a man, and we have been through this in the past, and Gerry Adams is not here to defend himself this morning.
Well, he's more than welcome to come on, because those are his words. He knew about it. Those are his words. So, yes, he is a divisive character, Stephen, and I am trying to be civil, and I'm sorry if people disagree with me, and many people were. And for many people out there, Gerry Adams will be a hero. But I'm sorry that I'm sitting here as an Ulster unionist, that I say that he is not. He is an absolute villain, and his final legacy is to leave this country in absolute turmoil. So I can't say a good word about him.
Let's bring in Jude Collins this morning. Doug, stay there. Your reaction to that, Jude. Morning.
Well, good morning, Stephen. I must say I'm struck by the emphasis people are putting on the victims. And I think that's right. There are a lot of people who have suffered at the hands of the IRA, and certainly Gerry Adams is associated with the IRA. However, how many of the people who are saying this would remember how this state was created in the first place? This state was created with the amputation of arms and the threat of armed insurrection. That's how the state was created. The IRA in 1969, when Bombay Street was burned, the claim was IRA stood for I Ran Away. The IRA came into being in a real sense in response to the kind of things that were happening, civil rights marchers beaten off the street and so on. However, if you're a pacifist, then I think you've got every right to say the IRA did terrible things and so on. But if you're not a pacifist, then you've got to acknowledge that there was terrible deeds done on both sides. And this continual harping as if Gerry Adams was the guy who created the Troubles is absolute nonsense.
Doug?
No, Jude has a point. My issue was that Gerry Adams perpetuated the Troubles. And let me just make this absolutely clear, Steve. Let me just make this absolutely clear. Just a minute, Jude, please. Let me make this absolutely clear. I condemn those who shot innocents at Bloody Sunday. I condemn and ask for justice for those people of Ballymurphy. I ask for justice of those people of McGurk's Bar. I ask for justice of anybody who has been murdered, either by the state or by loyalist paramilitaries or anybody else. I will not stand up and I will not defend them if they did wrong. Why on earth can Gerry Adams and the rest of Sinn Féin not stand up and say the IRA was wrong in what they did? A single life did not have to be lost. Do you know who the real peacemaker was? John Hume, not Gerry Adams.
Well, could I just come back at that briefly? I think you're right to give John Hume eminence, and it certainly is true that John Hume consistently was opposed to violence of any kind. However, he, in his own native city, he was witness to the deaths of 12, or was it 14 people, at the hands of British soldiers, none of whom have been suffered or in any way who have been put in jail or some of them even were promoted. So you really can't go on with this kind of thing that Gerry Adams was the one who maintained the violence. The fact of the matter is, Gerry Adams, whether he was in the IRA or not, he was someone who took not just political risks, he took physical risks. He risked his life to bring about the state of peaceful politics that we have today. Now, that has to be remembered along with other things, certainly. But don't ignore the part of the story where he did essentially, if you like, what Nelson Mandela did. Nelson Mandela was in jail because he supported the ANC. And he eventually led his people into peaceful politics.
So you're drawing a comparison between Gerry Adams and Nelson Mandela.
You know, I always say that. Yes, that's right, Stephen. I agree.
Is that what you're doing?
He's not the stature of Nelson Mandela. But I'm just drawing that parallel between the fact that both men were involved probably in violence, and both men led their people a long path which took them to peaceful politics.
Doug?
That should be applauded.
Yeah, Gerry Adams was forced into suing for peace because the IRA was beaten, and he would soon find himself behind bars. And if we talk about peace, just ask, where was the peace when Paul Quinn was murdered by the IRA? Where was the peace when Dennis Donaldson was murdered? When was the peace when Jock Davison was murdered? Where is the peace of those victims out there who have suffered sexual abuse, and we have moved the IRA members around the countryside instead of bringing them to justice?
Don't
Let me tell you, Gerry Adams was brought to the peace table kicking and screaming.
We could continually list victims, and it's absolutely true that there were victims on both sides, but I don't think that takes us anywhere further. The point is, and you know it, Doug, that Gerry Adams was instrumental in leading the Republican movement from violence to peaceful politics. That's a fact.
Here's Brian. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, what do the unions, certain unions, want here? Gerry Adams is retired now. Unfortunately, Martin McGuinness died. Other ones who were involved in the so-called campaign, they're either off the radar or dead. It's a younger generation who are taking over Sinn Féin, who weren't involved in any trouble, any terrorists. Are they going to be still called terrorists? I mean, by the unions, like Jim Allister? I mean, what do they really want? And when you hear the likes of Sammy Wilson, the statement he made, to me there's a big hit in capital letter. Hit is what comes across here.
Well, but I like Sammy Wilson would say that he hates violence and that he hates terrorism. Let me bring in Alex and Lisbeth. Morning to you, Alex.
Morning. No, I just listened to some of the comments there. And I think, you know, I would accept, as a unionist and as an ex-policeman, and I would accept that, yes, Gerry Adams did lead the Republican movement towards peace, but he didn't. I don't think he did because he suddenly looked on violence as wrong, or he had a road to Damascus conversion to peace. I think he saw that, as Doug said there, the IRA were running into the sand. They were running out of ideas, they were running out of initiative, and they were going to be beaten. And it was tactic. So I don't think, you know, while he may have taken the IRA down a peaceful route, it was purely a tactic. It wasn't that he repudiated violence. But what my original phone call was, basically, what has Gerry achieved? He came from a working-class background in West Belfast. He's now, they say, a millionaire. But what has the Republican movement achieved under his leadership for all those lives that they lost themselves? And what's his community? He was the MP for West Belfast. It's the area with high unemployment, high suicide, high sickness. What has Gerry actually achieved over his life? What has he achieved? People have given him the credit for bringing about peace. But sure, if you believe what's written about him, and never been challenged by him in the courts, he was instrumental in.
Well, we don't know. We don't know, do we?
He denies. Yes. I spent my whole life reading Sean O'Callaghan's book, The Informer, and if you read that and you accept that as being largely an accurate account, and
well,
there was never challenged
there
in the courts. But anyway, not go down that route. But you know what has he? What did he really achieve? What did he really achieve? You know, it's just. You could even argue the same thing on the other side. There's great nemesis, Ian Paisley was the same. You know, he only achieved success when he turned his back on all he stood for, and Adam's done the same.
Malachy O'Doherty, morning to you. Obviously,
morning, obviously,
Malachy, on a day like this, there's going to be division in the calls, and that's what we're seeing today. It'll be interesting if Sinn Féin do want to find someone to speak on behalf of the political legacy of Gerry Adams, what they will say. How would you call it?
Well, I would say that Gerry Adams was an initiator of the IRA campaign, and he was the one who brought it to an end, you know, and that is quite a remarkable trajectory in a man's political life. If we're talking about the very, very early stage, somebody said, you know, the IRA was a reaction to Bombay Street, but the IRA was armed and on the Falls Road the night before Bombay Street. On the day before Bombay Street, 14th of August 1969, Gerry attended a meeting with other IRA members and civil rights activists in the Wellington Park Hotel to decide on the strategy for that night. And Gerry said in his own words that he left that meeting to make petrol bombs. So Gerry was in the thick of it from the very, very beginning, but there are some very significant moments in his Republican career. At a time in the mid-70s when it seemed that the IRA really was beaten and the ceasefire had failed, the 75 ceasefire, and the organisation was demoralised and many of them were interned, it was Gerry who really reshaped the project. And that was largely because he was more of a politically minded figure than a militarist, really. But he reshaped the IRA campaign, as reframed at that time, became what he called a long war. It became armed propaganda. We heard Doug Beattie and others say the IRA was beaten, it was run into the ground. It was not beaten. The IRA was a small organisation which had no intention of fighting a war against the British. It had no intention of mounting a territorial war. It was what Gerry himself called armed propaganda. It meant violence for the sake of staying in the headlines and vetoing, essentially blocking any political progress until people were ready to talk. Now, the next big stage change in Gerry's life comes when Joe Hendren wins West Belfast and takes it away from him. Gerry had been building Sinn Féin, but he thought, I think, for a time that he could run Sinn Féin and the IRA side by side. And when they became clear in 1992 that it had to be one or the other, I mean, Danny Morrison wrote to Gerry from prison and said, you know, at this stage, either the IRA has to escalate its campaign, which was unthinkable because it was such a small organisation, or it has to stand aside and let Sinn Féin gain the political rewards. And that was the decision that was taken, to stand the IRA aside and move forward politically. And then what you got from that was the resumed growth of Sinn Féin. The amazing achievement of Gerry Adams, historically speaking, is that he essentially got the armed movement to colonise the constitutional movement, the defeat of the SDLP. If you go back in Republican history, and I know I'm talking at length here, but if you go back in Republican history to the 1840s, you have a twin-track approach. You have a militarised movement and you have a constitutional movement working through Parliament, through O'Connell, Parnell, Redmond, Joe Devlin, up to Fitt and Hume, and you have the IRA or similar organisations through Mitchell, Davitt, Collins, De Valera, McStephan, Rory O'Brady and others. And Gerry Adams knits those two traditions together. Now, De Valera had achieved that in the South, essentially by going into the Dáil, and Gerry Adams is the one who finally, and we hope finally, and knits those traditions together in the North.
So is he one of the greatest Republican leaders Ireland has ever seen?
Well, he led the Republican movement by the nose. I mean, even, and I've just written a book about him. Mark Davenport, whom you had on earlier, also wrote a very fine book about Gerry Adams, along with David Charrett, about 20 years ago. And a point made in both books is that Adams is more politically minded than militaristic. And essentially, there were people even in the IRA before 69 who were saying, I don't trust this guy. He's more interested in himself. He's strategic. He's political. What he essentially did was he took that kind of socialist political strategizing inside the IRA. He took it through the split across to the provisionals. And there were members of the provisionals, and I quote them in the book, who say, Gerry let us down. You know, he was organising these wee protests up in Ballymurphy with the sake of wrong-footing the army and to turning on the people. Well done. He managed that. But he said, we wanted to go in there with guns. We wanted to go up there with Garands and M1 carbines. And he wouldn't let us. You know, he was the one who stopped it. So Gerry was in some measure always a strategist.
Let's bring in Frieda Mahara. Morning to you, Frieda.
Morning, Stephen. As the Bible says, he speaks peace, but war is in his heart. And the fact of the matter is, as he plans to retire, I just see it as he's one day closer to standing in judgment before a holy God.
Well, obviously, Gerry Adams would reject emphatically any description of him as a terrorist. He would say he's not a member and has never been a member of the IRA. As you well know, Frieda, he did not condemn IRA violence.
Well, he can say whatever he wants, Stephen, but at the end of the day, the Lord God Almighty knows all about him. And one day he will stand and give us an account of his life before God, and he will not say that he was not in IRA or he didn't do this
or Frieda, thank you.
That.
Alan and Carrickfergus. Morning, Alan.
Morning, Stephen. Yes, I'm going to be very careful here, as I said, dear researcher, but basically I'd just like to back up a lot of the things that Doug said, and, you know, they're on record and there they are. But and it was interesting, Doug also mentioned John Hume. John Hume would make 1,000 Gerry Adams. John Hume was really the man who, on the national side, who got this country to where it is today. And you can see by his actions now, every time Michelle O'Neill appears on TV, Gerry Adams is standing right behind her. So, you know, I think if Martin McGuinness was still alive, we wouldn't be in the position we are today. Gerry Adams is one of the principal reasons why we don't have an executive. He's taken Sinn Féin down this hardline approach, where Martin McGuinness might have been more pragmatic about it.
Okay. Alan, thank you very much indeed. Doug Beattie and Malachy O'Doherty, thank you. Jude Collins, thank you.